This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Hello. Is this thing on? It's DCR with you on Friday.
Not the Thursday.
No, not the Thursday. It is
good Thursday morning.
It is March 12th, 2021. A good morning. The band is back together. Good morning, one Christopher Canty. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Coming off a big win from my Wahoos yesterday over the Syracuse Orange. Take that, Andrew Gunling. Proved who the real orange and blue is.
Oh, shots fired.
Shout out to Big Man for that last-minute shot.
Did you text him? Did you rub it in a little bit?
No, I'm not like you, Dave. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to hang on the rim when it comes to Gunling because he's a nice guy. And I also know that Gunling goes from 0 to 100 like nobody else.
Yes, it's I very easy no to problems. Agitate when Andrew Gunling.
I want no problems.
God hates me.
In times of peril. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Don't mess around with me like that. I'm telling you right now. If your machine's off, I'm out. I'm off. I can't do it.
That'd be it.
Proved it yesterday. A lot to get into today. You actually had me Google. I called you yesterday because my wife was taunting me for the rest of the day, embarrassed. I was actually Googling openings to shows yesterday.
Just
to
see come
if,
on.
Yes.
It
is
you
not
really
the Wednesday
were,
that
you?
Dave hates. It is the Thursday.
It is the Thursday. Well, we have the second half of the Knicks and the Nets coming up.
We're going to discuss some stuff.
Man.
Chris, have you heard it in its entirety? It's only like 12 seconds, but have you heard it?
No, I haven't, Dave.
All right. Raymond, can we please play yesterday's open for Chris, who did not hear it?
All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight. At that point, I was trying to pause as long as possible to get your machine back up and running, you could jump in.
It wasn't that bad, Rico. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't as bad as you think.
His wife was mocking him the rest of the day about it, Chris.
It's the line for me, though, right? Thursday morning, not the Wednesday that Dave hates. That's it. That's the classic line.
It is
right
not
there.
The Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday.
It is the Thursday. Well, today is the Friday after yesterday's the Thursday. And there's a lot for us to do. Keyshawn going to join us in about 25 minutes. We have Matt Miller, our NFL draft expert here at ESPN, one of many, going to join us at 7:30. It's Get to Know Your Co-host Day. 6:45, you get to know me a little bit better as the battle for supremacy continues. Chris, you're still undefeated in that game, aren't you?
Yeah, 2-0, Dave. 2-0. I feel like I'm just, I don't know, a little more invested in getting to know you guys than you guys are with one another. I don't know.
It's hard to argue that at this moment. It really is.
Well, time out.
It's hard to argue.
No. Here's the thing. You know, Chris is right. I mean, this is reminiscent of The Price is Right, where, you know, Chris had a couple right. I had one right. You had zero right. I mean, I think if we look back as far as getting to know your co-host, I think I have the best round so far. I was 4-1 on Canty.
Here we go.
That's pretty impressive. 4-1.
You know, nobody cares. It's like saying you win a game 7-1 and you lose the next game 3-2. Your goals differential is good, but you're still not 2-0. You're not 2-0.
No, but I'm just saying, like, as far as best performance in a single game, I'm currently leading the show.
This is a terrible take by you. You,
it's a
who's all
take.
About wins and losses, are going to celebrate. What are you, 1-1?
I'm 1-1. I'm 500.
Okay.
I mean, we're celebrating the Knicks. I mean, what do you want? Listen. I'm 1-1, I'm 500, and I just so happen to have the best game recorded so far.
Are we really celebrating the Knicks, though, Rico?
I am now. I'm invested. Okay. I knew that was going to happen. Everyone knew that was going to happen last night.
You knew they were going to get the doors blown off them like that? I didn't expect that. I figured they would lose just because teams kick it up a notch in the second half, getting ready to try to build some momentum for the playoffs. But I didn't think the Knicks would get blown out.
That was awful. You knew. I had a feeling it was going to be bad. I don't know that I thought it was going to be that bad. But Giannis, a fresh team. The Knicks handed them one earlier in the season. Knicks a little shorthanded last night. You had a feeling it was going to be an ugly game. I don't think anybody thought that ugly, though. That was horrendous.
No, but I think it's further proof. I mean, this New York Knicks team, they play hard, and they play, I mean, consistently, they play good defense. But when you're going up against a team at that level, I mean, Milwaukee's a team that could, I know everyone's picking the Nets, but I mean, Milwaukee's right there for a team that could come out of the East and be in the NBA Finals. And, you know, even Giannis got off to a slow start. He wasn't good in the first quarter, but I mean, if the Knicks don't have Julius Randle going, if you can shut down Julius Randle, the Knicks are hard pressed to win.
Yeah, it seems like a relatively simple game plan for opposing teams, right? Defensively, all you got to do is stop Julius Randle, don't let him get into the paint, and then just, you know, see if somebody else can beat you. And the Knicks haven't shown that they've got somebody else that can routinely do it, especially when Derrick Rose is out of the lineup, because he doesn't create opportunities for everybody else. So it's going to be a struggle for this team offensively until they get, you know, another all-star caliber player, preferably one in the backcourt, just because there's going to be so much pressure on Julius Randle. He'll be the focal point for every single team's opposing defense.
And let's be fair. When the Knicks play the upper echelon teams and those teams play well, right? If they're playing their third game in four nights, or they're not motivated, or they're missing one of the key components, sure. But if that team plays well, the Knicks can't beat those teams. They can't be the upper echelon team around the NBA when that team is focused and motivated and plays their A game. And that's what you saw last night for Milwaukee.
But I think that's the fear in the second half of the season. I mean, the Knicks' first half of the season, schedule-wise, they had the 29th toughest schedule in the league. 29th. Second half, they have the fourth toughest. So, I mean, you're going to get everyone's best effort now because everyone knows that this is the time where they turn it up in the NBA. And not to mention the fact that, I mean, last time the Knicks played Milwaukee in New York, they beat the hell out of them. It was 130-110. They beat them by 20 points. So, I mean, Julius Randle, you could tell early on. Maybe it's just because, you know, coming back from the All-Star game, kind of a whirlwind, emotions and everything else. Mm-hmm. He comes back. I mean, they packed the paint. Every time he got into the paint, it looked like there was five guys in the paint.
Yep.
I mean, turnovers led to easy baskets. I mean, the Bucks shot 58%, Dave. I mean, you're not going to beat that team.
No, the Knicks were horrendous defensively, and here's Tom Thibodeau discussing that, saying Milwaukee could do anything they wanted all game long on offense.
You know, you have to ask yourself, what did we get done defensively? And they're a heck of an offensive team. So anytime you commit to one specific area, you put two onto somebody, you're going to be vulnerable in other areas, but you shouldn't give up everything. And that's what we ended up doing. So we didn't take care of the transition. We didn't take care of the paint. We didn't take care of covering the line. And then we didn't finish our defense with the rebounding well. So they pretty much got everything that they wanted. And against a team like that, you're not going to win. And you can't do it for, you know, stretches of the game. You have to do it start to finish. And so, we have to learn from it.
And that's a big ask. To play that level of defense for 48 minutes on the road is a big ask, and they could not. They were not good last night. There's no two ways about it.
No, but for the majority of the first half, they were fine, Dave. It wasn't until about 5 minutes to go in the second quarter where things fell apart. I think the Bucks went on a 20-7 run, and it was all downhill from there. But, I mean, to what we just heard from Thibs, I mean, the Knicks did some things last night that are uncharacteristic. Like, they allowed a lot of points in transition. I want to say the differential was minus 18 for the Knicks in transition. Points in the paint, they were minus 20. I want to say it was the Bucks 52 points in the paint to the Knicks 32. And then the Knicks with the 14 turnovers led to 16 Bucks points. Like, those are just things that we haven't seen the Knicks do in the first half. So, to me, last night was a little bit uncharacteristic. Now, I'm willing to attribute some of that to the defensive intensity from the Milwaukee Bucks, but it also speaks to the struggles that the Knicks have on offense when they don't have a difference maker at point guard, when they're not getting any shot creation from that position. I think it's always going to be a struggle, especially when opposing teams have the opportunity to set their defense. So that's just going to always be something that the Knicks are deficient at until they make some different decisions personnel-wise.
I mean, they don't scare you. I mean, the starting unit for the New York Knicks don't... Their ability to shoot doesn't scare you.
No.
No.
So you pack the paint, and then, you know, if they can, then, you know, congratulations. But they're not able to do that right now. I mean, no. Alfred Payton's fine. I mean, is he on a good team? Is he a starting point guard? No, he's probably not a starting point guard. He can't shoot well. Noel doesn't shoot. I wish Bullock would actually shoot more. Barrett has improved from three-point, but, I mean, you'd rather have him. I mean, he was actually good last night.
Mm-hmm.
RJ Barrett was good, and he had that one dunk that was filthy.
Oh, early on, yeah.
Oh, the hesitation on Middleton, and then he was awesome. That would have been the highlight of the entire game. But, I mean, and the other thing, too, is when Quickley struggles, I mean, your second unit's going to struggle. I mean, Alec Burks is good, but Quickley is the guard that can actually, I mean, create his own shot and actually shoot from three, and he had another game last night where he struggled.
Right, so he's not good. Derrick Rose doesn't play, and all of a sudden this dynamic, you know, bench unit that the Knicks can throw out there and score backcourt-wise is non-existent last night.
No, and then on top of the fact, I mean, when you look at what the Bucks bench did, I mean, you had Augustine and Forbes go 10 for 10 from three. Combined 10 for 10 from three.
Which is wild, yeah.
So, I mean, listen, Milwaukee's at a different level. I think we all knew that going in. I mean, defensively, you would have liked to seen better from the New York Knicks, but you could see the frustration, especially in Julius Randle. I mean, that was by far the worst game we've seen him play the entire season. It was partly him, but it was a lot to do with what Milwaukee was doing to him.
Yeah, because that's your game plan. I mean, if you're going up against the Knicks, there's one guy you need to slow down. If you slow down Julius Randle, do you really think that R.J. Barrett or Quickley or Rose or Burks or whoever the guy is going to beat you? And the answer more often than not is probably no. So there's one guy that you focus on and game plan against, and if you can slow him down and you're a good team, you're probably going to wind up beating the Knicks.
Yeah, we're seeing that. And that's the only thing that would concern you here down the stretch in the second half, is that you're going up against really good teams, especially early on in the second half. And if you're going to get the best team's best effort, you're going to have your hands full.
Yeah, you're not going to win those games. And
but you're not sneaking up on anyone either, Dave. Right? Like,
as fans, I don't know that teams circle you, but teams don't take you for granted anymore.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm sure other teams looked at the New York Knicks and had similar expectations to us as fans. Like, I mean, they'll be okay, but this isn't someone that we're going to have to, you know, really focus on, you know, bringing our best.
Yeah.
Because we should be able to, because we have more talent, go out and we'll beat them. And early on, I mean, you saw them with big wins. I mean, they kicked the crap out of Milwaukee. They're not sneaking up on teams in the second half now. They're not.
No.
Like, Julius Randle established himself as an all-star. So, I mean, they're going to have their hands full, but, I mean, the fact that I think we all three of us trust the coaching staff, you know, I don't expect the wheels to completely fall off, but it could be tough sledding here for the first couple games of the second half.
Yeah, I would say so. They got the Nets and the Sixers twice in their next five games. Good luck with that.
And they have Milwaukee again coming up, too.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that's going to be the start that the Knicks want to get out to start the second half. But, I mean, you're just looking for them to be a lot more competitive than they were in this game. Like, I don't expect them to be able to compete with those teams when those other teams bring their A games. But at least keep it competitive. I don't need Giannis going for a triple double in less than 30 minutes. Like, it needs to be a closer game, a much more contested game. That's what we've been accustomed to seeing from the Knicks in the first half. So that's what I would expect in the second half. I don't think it's going to be this precipitous drop. I think they will compete. It's just, you know, a matter of talent, and I don't think that they have the talent right now to pull off wins when those other teams are locked in.
That's right, and we said it yesterday, Chris, and that is, you know, against Milwaukee, odds are if they play well, you're not going to win that game. But now it makes it even more important, because you look at the schedule, when you play Oklahoma City like you do this weekend, when you play, you know, Orlando like you do soon, you really need to win those games, because the rest of the games are daunting, and you can't let those should-be victories get away.
No, you can't. I mean, now, listen, it sucks. You got, you know, you got beat up in Milwaukee. Now there's a game against OKC that, I mean, you should be able to win. If you play your best and OKC plays their best, I think the Knicks have a great opportunity to win that game.
Yep. So go win that game, and I think, you know, all of a sudden it makes you feel very differently heading into the second half of the season.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I told this on the pre-show call that we do. Rick, I don't think you heard the story about the Georgetown game yesterday, did you?
I don't think he's... Did we lose him again?
Oh, God. Is that what happened?
Did we lose him again?
We lost him? Well, I'll tell him the story.
I want to hear the story again, Dave, because I thought it was gold.
Well, I mean, no one did anything wrong, but I was so frustrated in this story. Mm-hmm. So, good morning, Rick. How are you? Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, David.
So I wasn't looking at the Zoom, and I went to you, unbeknownst to me. You weren't there, so I apologize for that to everyone. But you didn't hear on our pre-show meeting, I told Chris and RJ and Ray the story of the Georgetown game yesterday. I think you'll enjoy it, and I was so bothered by it. And there's nobody's really wrong in this story. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
All right, so my mom came over for lunch yesterday. We don't get to see her often, and she came over, and she wanted to take me out for lunch, right? So Alex had a half day of school, and she came over at like 12:45. And I said, can you do me a favor? She's like, oh, we got to go. I'm going to have traffic going home, because traffic, when you become older, traffic is like the number one thing that terrifies you. So she's like, can we go? Because I want to beat the traffic, and the traffic, I'm like, fine. I said, can we watch the end of the first half of the game, and then we'll go to lunch? There's like 4 minutes left of the first half. Okay, fine. So we watch the end of the first half. I tape it. I'm adamant. Right, RJ, in fact, texts me, says, that was heck of a half by Georgetown, huh? Because they led by two at halftime. And I said, please do not text me again. I am taping the second half. I'm not bringing my phone to lunch. I left my phone at home. I don't want to get hit with a stray result, right? So we go to lunch, sit outside, and I see people that I know. It's gorgeous there, right? Very well spaced out, very nice, wonderful day yesterday. And I see people I know, and I say, do me a favor. They're like, hey, Dave, how are you? Do not tell me. Like, these people would never say anything. I said, do not tell me the Georgetown score, please. They're like, okay, we won't tell you the Georgetown score. Tell everyone. Like, the waiter comes over. I'm like, do me a favor. Do not say anything about the Georgetown game. I was like, oh, all right. I won't mention the Georgetown game. I don't even know what sport I'm talking about, right? So, fine. Nice lunch. Get home. Walk into the house. Get a bottle of water. Turn the game on. Hit play. Ben comes bursting in from school. Before I even have a chance to say anything, Dad, that was some win by Georgetown. You must be so happy. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I can't believe you just did that to me. Now, thrilled that they won, but he took all the emphasis, all the oomph out of the second half of the game from me.
Let me ask you a question here, just so we know.
Yeah.
Do your kids have cell phones?
Yeah.
Okay, so
Ben does. Alex does not.
And it was Ben that broke the news.
Yeah, Ben burst in from school, just exploding how excited he was with the Georgetown win.
Okay, so he knows that you love Georgetown and how
yes.
happy you would be that Georgetown won. He didn't
yes.
know that you were taking your mother out for lunch.
I said nobody did anything wrong.
No, but I'm saying this is on you more than it is on Ben.
How is it on Dave?
Because he's saying I should have texted him
yes.
that don't tell me the score. I didn't even think of that.
Well, but yet you thought tell the waiter who has no idea what you're even talking about or the people there that, hey, don't tell me the Georgetown score as if they care. The only person that would care that could actually ruin it for you would be Ben because he was excited for you.
I guess in retrospect, that's right, but it didn't even occur to me. I didn't even know what
you're
time
victim
it was.
Blaming,
I was
like, Rico. Why are you victim blaming? Why are you playing that role today?
I didn't blame anybody. Why are you blaming somebody?
It's your fault. I don't blame anybody. This is not Ben's fault. This is Dave Rothenberg's fault. Just telling random
How can
people.
You say you don't blame anybody and then just say I blame Dave Rothenberg?
I don't blame anybody, but I blame you.
No, anyone outside of you. I blame strictly you. I don't blame anyone. I don't blame Ben. If anyone at the restaurant told you, I mean, I don't know why you had to tell people at the restaurant, don't tell me the Georgetown score as if
because
they would care.
I didn't want, I mean, I, you know, the waiter and the busboy, they could get into a conversation in the corner over the water. Like, can you refill that water? By the way, do you see that Georgetown score? They're up by 9 in the second. Like, I didn't want that.
There is, I guarantee there was not one person in the restaurant that you were at that could have cared less about Georgetown Villanova.
But the game meant so much to him. Dave just wanted to make sure
exactly.
that there was no chance that could happen.
I wanted to cover all my bases at the restaurant.
But
and
you
I
didn't.
Did.
But you didn't. You didn't
but
cover
didn't
all the bases.
It didn't even occur to me that Ben was going to be walking in the door.
There was only two people in this scenario that would ruin it for Dave Rothenberg. And it was your two kids. That's it. Because no one else could care less.
But Alex was with me, so he knew.
Well, yeah, he knew. So there was one person. That's even worse. There was only
one
person
that
could ruin it.
In the entire world, one person could have gotten to me.
That's it.
Yeah.
You took every precaution except the precaution that you needed to take the most.
Awful. Awful. So then I watched the game, and, I mean, listen, you don't feel like this, Rick, but Chris, you do. When you watch a game and you know the result, it's not nearly as fun.
Yeah, it does take a little bit of the shine off it, Dave. I mean, the suspense, the drama, especially with college basketball this time of year down the stretch in a closely contested game. Like, yeah, when you know the outcome, you don't have the range of emotions. You don't. You're not as invested just because you know what's going to happen. You're preparing yourself for it.
So I hate watching sports taped. I never should have gone out for that lunch yesterday.
Oh, what's your mom? Stop it. Did you hear the call? The Georgetown call? It's great.
The radio call?
He must have said Georgetown. I think he said Georgetown Wins
that's
like 20
Rich
times.
Chivotkin, yeah. He goes crazy. He goes crazy. And on the heels of that unbelievable win, you heard what they did to poor Patrick Ewing at the Garden yesterday, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt either. It's the Garden. I mean, with how they've treated former players, they don't get the benefit of the doubt. But why not just wear your pass, though, man?
He's Patrick Ewing.
I know, but why just not? Why put a security guard in that spot?
Well, it sounds like it was more than just one security guard, though, Rico. And I guess that's the thing I have a problem with. For Patrick Ewing to talk about it, and he's got, you know, the Big East tournament going on. Like, for him to make that an issue at a press conference, like, he had to be asked several times, which is kind of ridiculous when you think about it, man.
He's Patrick
Ewing. How many
Ewing?
7-foot people are walking around Madison Square Garden?
Do you think that when Eli Manning walks into Giant Stadium, they're like, excuse me,
put a pass on?
Who are you? Can we see your credential, please? I mean, come on. He's Patrick
There could be
Ewing.
One security guard. I mean, there could be one security guard.
He's 7 feet
know you.
Tall.
Well,
listen. You could argue he's the greatest member of the history of the Knicks organization who played at Madison Square Garden.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I have a hard time believing anyone that works at Madison Square Garden, especially knowing that Georgetown was playing at Madison Square Garden, and he coaches Georgetown, and I'm sure he was walking around with Georgetown apparel on, that they knew it was Patrick Ewing. And it pissed him off. You could tell. For him to bring it up, obviously he was upset by it. But
that was the biggest win they've had since he's been there. He's been there for 4 years. It's the biggest win they've had. And in the post-game press conference, he has to address that. Let's take a listen. Here is a very miffed Patrick Ewing after the game.
I do want to say one thing, though. I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, asking for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am, and I'm getting stopped. I can't move around this building. Like I was like, what the hell? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters or what?
You're not happy.
It's just a bad. It's another bad look, though, Dave.
It's ridiculous.
This is another bad look. I mean, you had the Spike Lee thing, you had the Charles Oakley thing, and those are different type of circumstances. But to do this to Patrick Ewing, I mean, the guy's jersey is in the rafters. I mean, they asked him for his credential. He should have just told him, "Look in the rafters. See that 33? That's me. That's his credential.
That's my credential."
He shouldn't be hassled when he's in Madison Square Garden. It's absolutely ridiculous, man.
And it doesn't sound like one security guard, Rick. I'm being harassed, I'm being hassled. That they're making a point of this, and I don't understand why. There's no one even in the building.
Listen, I don't know what the motivation was to do it. I mean, being in situations like that where you're trying to get through a building, I mean, it is like when I go through, like when I was doing pre and post, now I'm like nowhere near the level of Patrick Ewing, but you start walking through places, I mean, you get stopped, like, you'll get stopped. Where's your pass? And I'd rather not put the security guard in the position where he has to could possibly get in trouble because he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Here's what I would say about that. If this was an isolated incident, no one ever had an issue with anything at the Garden, it was just Patrick Ewing this one time, maybe I could look at it and say, you know what, not that big a deal. This is the third issue with famous, you know, Knicks-related people that have had issues with security here now at the Garden.
No, that's the problem. But I said that. I mean, you know, the Garden's not going to get the benefit of the doubt because of what's happened in the past. I just don't. I mean, it's – and again, I'm not disagreeing with you. I would have a hard time believing that they didn't know it was Patrick Ewing. I don't like when, you know, someone in that – a security guard in that spot that's not making a ton of money, likes having this job, would be put in a spot to potentially get himself in trouble or herself in trouble. You know what I mean? Like it's
yeah,
not,
that's
it's
a,
not
yeah, that's a, that's an
them.
Impossible position to be put in. No question about it. I mean, I guess for them, the downside to not asking Patrick Ewing for their pass is losing the job. The downside to asking him for the pass is what happened yesterday, and that's not on the individual security guard. That's on MSG as a whole. So, I guess if you're that particular security person or those security people that were asking for his credential, that was the only thing you could do. But it's still just a bad look from Madison Square Garden.
So the Garden actually put a statement out. I didn't see it until just this moment. It says, Jim and Patrick have a long-standing relationship. They spoke this afternoon and reaffirmed that. We all know, respect, and appreciate what he means to the Garden and to New York. Good luck to him and his Hoyas in the Big East semifinals. So... listen,
we're not even going to address what happened yesterday. We're just going to leave that be.
Yeah, they want to squash this, and whatever. I don't think it's a huge issue. I just think it's strange that this kind of thing continues to happen at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, how many former Knicks are going to be left feeling away about the building and the organization? Like, it's just kind of another one of those things where it's like a former Knick being hassled at Madison Square Garden.
And this is the former Knick, right?
Yes.
Unless it's Clyde Frazier, I can't really think of anybody else that this would be worse to do it to.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Keyshawn Johnson from KJZ fame here on 98.7 ESPN from 8 to 10 every Monday to Friday. Keyshawn, no, you don't have a ton of time. Appreciate just a couple minutes. What do you make of what new Texans head coach Culley had to say yesterday about Deshaun Watson and his future there in Houston?
You know, I really didn't understand it. I know that he's under contract right now, and maybe because he's under contract, he still feels like he's the quarterback of the Houston Texans. There's really no major sticking point to moving him right now, right? I mean, he's got about 6 weeks before the pressure points start to come. As we get closer to the draft, you'll start to hear and see more action, I'm sure, from the Houston Texans in terms of picking up the phone and trying to figure out how to move him along, because they don't have to do it right now. There's just nothing there. You really start to sweat as you get closer to the draft, because at that point you've got to make some major decisions.
And Key, they have to make a deal. Like, they're gonna have to move him, because he seems like he's dug in and he'll sit out if he has to sit out. That deal would have to be done before the draft, correct?
Yeah, you could do it before the draft. You could do it the day of the draft. I mean, yes, before, I would think before you get out of the draft, Deshaun Watson would be moved.
Keyshawn, yesterday the Chiefs made the decision to release both their starting tackles, Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher. Any concern there in terms of what they're going to do moving forward to try to protect Pat Mahomes?
No, you know how it is. I don't know if they released them because the salary cap numbers are high and they're going to re-sign them and bring them back, or did they release them because they're just garbage and they feel like Yashir Durant and some of the other young tackles that they have is better. We see this all the time, as you know, Canty. Guys get surprisingly released, and then all of a sudden they sign back for a cheaper price just to help the salary cap out. And they need to sign guys during the course of free agency, and the only way they could do it is by getting down to a certain number with the salary cap.
All right, Key, we know you got to get ready for your show. We appreciate a couple minutes. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Damn, y'all got rid of me that fast?
I'd be happy keeping you. I was told by my producer that you need to get ready for your show. Well,
Can
I ask you another question?
He asked me, how long do I have? I said, about 5 minutes. Well, that was like 30 seconds, and I understand y'all don't want me on y'all show. But
no, that ain't true, Key.
That's not true at all.
Y'all didn't even ask me.
That ain't true.
We in New York, and y'all didn't even ask me why the Knicks wouldn't let Patrick Ewing in the building.
we discussed that. Can you believe that? I mean, Rick took the little bit the side of the security guard, but it's Patrick Ewing, for God's sakes.
Man, some people, I get it. It's Patrick Ewing. He's 9 feet tall. There's a basketball game going on in a basketball arena. So you would think anybody that's that tall isn't just standing around looking to, you know, hang out, so to speak. He's got to be, right? He's got to be doing something in the building. Sometimes people just, not really recognizing what they recognize, I guess.
Yeah, they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. Key, last one for me. Just so you know, package for Jay Williams coming with some zinc and some sunscreen. I know he loves that stuff. Basketball related question, because I know you're a Lakers fan. I mean, we sit here on the radio, we talk about the Nets, chances to win a championship. How concerned are you about AD? And if it is the Lakers in Brooklyn in the finals, I mean, how would you feel about that series?
You know, you're always concerned when somebody has an injury, especially a lower injury, and then you get even lower than that. You go all the way to the ankle, and it's a little bit of a strain on the Achilles. But they've got to be very careful to figure out from a medical standpoint what exactly it is. This medical staff obviously went through something with the late Kobe Bryant with the Achilles several years ago, and, that happened. And we also watched Kevin Durant's Achilles. So you got to be very careful on how you bring him along. And then if he's healthy, it's going to be an interesting situation, because, the Clippers aren't going to go anywhere. Utah's trying their best. Phoenix is hovering around, even though I don't think Phoenix from a long-term standpoint, but you never know. Chris Paul had OKC cooking last year. And then if for some reason the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets meet up in the championship, that'll be the best of both worlds.
Keyshawn, real quick, last question for me. Trey Lance, the quarterback from North Dakota State, he's having his pro day today. Would you have any concern drafting a quarterback in the top 10 with just 17 career starts at the FCS level?
I don't care what level it's on. I've always had a problem with taking a quarterback with a short sample size of play. One-year guy, burst onto the scene, oh, my God. That tight. I've never been that way. I need a guy to be at least 3 years underneath the center and have some substance behind him, gone through some trials and tribulations and had some heartbreaks. And I need a guy that can stand against time and not the flavor of the month because some scout says he's good and everybody else starts to follow. Because, you know, as I know, Canty, a lot of people that evaluate this talent, they're very lazy. They don't. They're lazy, and you know they don't necessarily know what they're looking at. They use other people's notes and say, well, Chris Canty is really good, or Chris Canty is really bad, or so and so is really good, rather than doing it theirself. And I learned that years ago from several famous people that I've been a part of in terms of coaching me and being around me. They always told me a lot of these guys that put these grades on people that are scouts and going out and evaluating the talent are lazy at doing it. That's why you see a lot of teams take bad picks and those picks fail.
All right, Keyshawn, we appreciate it. We keep you for another 15 minutes, but I think now you probably have to go and get ready for your show. Good stuff. We'll talk to you next Friday. Have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
All right, there you have it. I was completely put in a bad situation there by RJ, by the way.
Why are you throwing RJ under the bus on air? Doing that?
Well, why not?
Because he's our guy. The guys behind the glass make the show go, Dave.
Well, he tried to derail it right there. I mean, think about what he did. He says to me, before Keyshawn comes on, he says, one round of questions, everybody gets one, and then you got to wrap. He's got to go. And I recognize this. And that's my game plan. So we go around, but it's very quick. That first round, very quick. Like you said, like 90 seconds. And I texted RJ and I said, can we go again? And he said, no, you got to wrap. And then I said, all right, well, obviously he knows something I don't know because I thought we could have gone again. And then I said to Key, all right, I know you got to go. And he's like, he can't believe it. He's called in. It took him more time to dial the numbers than he did with the interview time with us. And he's bothered by it. So I'm a little upset with RJ, and I think rightfully so.
Well, Dave, why can't you just take the charge, man? Why do you have to throw one of our guys under the bus, man? Well, just take the charge. Just stand there in the paint and take the charge, okay? Yeah, RJ let his man blow past him and get to the rim, but you can be the last line of defense and still get the turnover. Like, just take the charge for the team. There's no reason to throw RJ under the bus.
So when RJ does well, and I say on air, boy, RJ did it with a great job. I mean, Book Schefter the other day, we're thrilled about that. I think we said on air, great job by RJ. When he does yeoman's work all the time, it's good job by
RJ.
Yeah,
that's great. That's great.
When he makes a mistake, I can't call him.
No.
He has to be accountable,
no,
Chris.
No, Dave, no. That's not how a team works, Dave. When we have a bad game, you get in front of the press and you say, you know what, I've got to be better. That was on me. But when you get out there and you have a good game, you get in front of the press and say, you know what, this is all on my teammates. It really wasn't me. You always absorb all the blame and you deflect the credit. That's what you do. That's what people on good teams do. Don't be a bad teammate.
Rick, you're going to agree with Chris, I know.
No, no,
right.
I mean, all of a sudden now you're Adam Gase. I mean, you're just airing out all your dirty laundry to everyone listening.
See, now I'm the bad guy.
Well, no, you're not the bad guy, but at a certain point, I mean, I got Don saying that you're the best pound for pound. Like, maybe you would adapt. Like, we had three questions at last. Like, he was really, like, the answers were boom, boom, boom. It was like 90 seconds, like you said. You know what? I'm gonna call an audible here. Let's go one more round because we don't want him to.
No. See, that's not fair. But I questioned him. I said, RJ, that was really quick. Do I still need to rap? And he said, yep, you still got to rap.
But
so
Dave,
he's the
RJ
one that couldn't adjust. I could adjust. I was on the verge of adjusting. He couldn't handle it.
Dave, you think that RJ is saying that for his own health, or is RJ getting that from somebody else? Why are you blaming RJ for this? RJ is just the middleman. Why are you blaming him?
Is there anything you'd like to say to defend yourself? And do you feel like you should be receiving blame right now for what you've just done?
I'm going to take a page out of the Don LaGreca playbook. I'd do it again. I do it all over again.
You know who Dave is? I'm starting to figure it out.
Who is he?
Play get to know Dave. Canty, you've been around people like this. When you go to, you know, you go to dinner with another couple or couples,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the one couple that has a couple glasses of wine, and then they just start airing out all their dirty laundry at the table.
Yes. And Dave, like, Dave Rothenberg is that awkward. Guy. Yeah, that's who Dave is.
That's who Dave is.
Yeah, that couple ruins the evening for everybody.
Oh, I'm a tremendous dinner date.
Tremendous dinner date. You're asking waiters who have no idea about college basketball. Hey, Dip, do me a favor. You're like my mother with gluten. Do me a favor. Don't give me the Georgetown score. It's like my mother. Just so everyone at the restaurant knows.
I'm dotting the I's. I want to make sure that I can avoid the score. I mean, I've been hit with random scores in the past, and it's terrible. And it happened again yesterday. How am I the bad guy? Just because I'm honest. You guys can't appreciate the honesty that I bring to the table. It's too much for you to handle.
Well, you obviously didn't dot all the I's and cross all the T's because you still found out the score. Because the one person you needed to tell.
One eye.
Yeah, one eye.
The whole paragraph was beautifully constructed in the one eye.
Yeah, you're like Trevor Bauer. You're the one eye.
Yeah.
Not as much success as Trevor Bauer, but you tried the one eye. It didn't work.
Gosh.
Awful. Let's go to, I'm going to discuss with all of you. Let's go to Matt in Queens. Matt, you're first up. Good morning. You're on 98.7.
Well, guys, I'll tell you one thing. Definitely, you guys are very entertaining, besides being very, very knowledgeable. I think Dave got to chill out a little bit here. And, you know, I get the image of, like, you know, Dave's with his mom, and he's at restaurants, and he's telling, you know, waiters, I don't know how much these waiters really even know a basketball game is going on or even ever heard of Georgetown or whatever. And it's like, you know, Dave's like, don't tell me to score. Don't tell me to score.
It's appropriate.
It really is.
If I was your waiter and you told me that, it would make me actually go back in the back and want to accidentally
Why?
Tell you the score.
Well, you'd get no tip then. You'd get absolutely no tip. I would have preferred that he hawked up a loogie and spit in my lunch yesterday than came up and said, by the way, Georgetown.
Oh, man, Dave, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Don't do a loogie thing on me, please, man. Come on.
You know what I would have done, though? Here's what I would have done, Dave.
What's
I would have leveraged that information. I would have said, hey, like, I can be a good guy if you want me to be a good guy, but I'm going to need at least 30% of the tip.
So what you're saying is you got to make it worth his while.
Exactly right.
Gotcha.
So you would have held me hostage.
He would have extorted you, yeah.
Sports hostage is what you would have done there.
Exactly what I would have done.
And I'm a bad guy.
I may actually start doing that. I may just start.
This is why I don't tape games.
Be a waiter at a restaurant during March Madness.
Do you think they went back and like had a little waiter like you know gathering? They're like, there's a crazy man at table 4. Like this guy's telling me, don't tell him the score of something called Georgetown.
No, I would. He's probably just brushed that. Like this guy's crazy. Like I didn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, we got a code 7 at table 4.
Yeah, well, this guy's Rob
Hulberg.
You want this for a story, by the way? How about the woman at the table next to us? You ready for this? So do you know now they have a service charge when you pay with credit card?
Didn't know that.
So some of these restaurants, they add like a percent.
Well, they have to, though, because I mean the credit card company charges them percent.
Fine, right. I'm not saying it, but it says it on the menu, right? So like a percent and a half. So say your bill is $50. You're looking at nothing, right? Yeah, I mean, you're looking at like 50 cents, 75 cents. So the woman at the table next to us, she charges her lunch, and they bring her the receipt, and she says, excuse me, this is 75 cents more than it was supposed to be, which is amazing in its own right. Wait, just listen. So the waiter says, oh, that was the surcharge for the credit card. She goes, surcharge for a credit card? No. She freaks out, refuses to pay it. She has them overturn the charge on her credit card and demands to pay cash. That's what we're dealing with here.
This
I'm
is
sure
not
that's
the time.
My fault.
That would be annoying to me, though, Dave. Like, I can understand that. It's the principle of it. Like, this is one of those, the restaurant has got to take the charge for the convenience of the customer. They've got to eat whatever the credit card company is charging them. They can't pass that cost on to the customer. I know restaurants are struggling and all that other stuff, but that would be annoying if I'm coming out and patronizing your establishment and then you make it harder for me to pay. You with putting this surcharge on a 75 cents. That would annoy the hell out of me.
Oh, I couldn't believe that.
But it says it on the menu.
I mean, it's full disclosure.
No, I'm not. Listen, how many people read the entire freaking menu? Let's start there.
Headline.
Let's start there. Come on, man. Like, I mean, you go out to a restaurant. It's a relatively new thing. Like, you know, if they tell you that as soon as you get there, just so you know, there's a surcharge if you pay with a credit card. Okay, cool. But if this is something that catches somebody off guard, which clearly it did in this circumstance, like, I get how it would be annoying to have to pay an extra 75 cents.
Well, she certainly made a point of it. It was remarkable. All right, Jets Nation, get your 2021 season tickets today and get back to live football at MetLife Stadium this season. You'll lock in the best seats and pricing to see the green and white at every game. Plus, you'll get great benefits, including free food, beverage, and merchandise credit. Get back to football today at nyjets.com/tickets or call 1-800-469-JETS. All right, let's take a listen. New head coach for the Texans, David Culley. Keyshawn was even puzzled with this, why he said it, but he's confident that Deshaun Watson will be a member of the Houston Texans next season.
Hey, Coach Culley, you've said repeatedly the team is committed to Deshaun Watson. Is he committed to you and the team?
Yes, he is.
How do you know that?
He's a Houston Texan, and I know that. I feel like that with the commitment that we've made to him, and I feel like that same commitment will be there with us also moving forward.
I don't understand. How can he say something like that? That's the most preposterous soundbite I've ever heard. Is he committed to you? Yes, he is. He said up and down he doesn't want to be a member of this organization.
Dave, what you want Dave Culley to say? What else can he say? There's nothing else he can do. He didn't create this problem, and he can't fix this problem.
I'm not blaming him for the problem, and I feel bad that he's put into this situation, but he sounds so confident that Deshaun Watson is going to be a member of this organization.
Yeah, he sounds ridiculous, but I fault the Houston Texans and Kyle McNair and Nick Caserio for creating this situation because, I mean, Dave Culley, this is impossible for a first-year head coach. And for one of the good guys in the NFL that's waited so long to get an opportunity to be a head coach, this is the situation that he's parachuted into. It sucks for him. It's completely unfair. But the more he talks, the more embarrassing this becomes for the Houston Texans. Like, at this point, like, it's just, unless you just talk about the process and what it's going to take in order to get Deshaun Watson out of Houston, nobody really wants to hear from anybody from the Texans organization.
And coaches in Houston right now are in one.
Yeah, I mean, right?
Rockets coach in one. I mean, I thought that P.J. Tucker was going to play, but he didn't, which is unfortunate because he wants to get traded. And now, listen, I guess the only answer to your question, Dave, would be that they're trying to reinforce to other teams that they're willing to wait this thing out to create as much leverage as humanly possible to get the best deal possible.
But did you see that story in The Athletic that says that they believe Deshaun Watson would sit out an entire year if he's forced to?
Oh, like, yeah.
I just, if you're Houston, man, why would you cut your nose off to spite your face? Like, Deshaun,
I really think they.
Go ahead.
Chris, here's the only thing I can think is that there are a handful of teams that Deshaun Watson wants to go to. I don't think that the Jets are one of those teams. And I think if you're Houston, you look at the Jets as the team you would like to trade Deshaun Watson to because they have the second overall pick. And you can address the quarterback position with that pick.
What about Miami?
But now you still don't have that. I mean, if they love Zach Wilson and there's the feeling that the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson with a second overall pick, I would rather have the second pick than the third pick.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, there's no question about it. But I mean, if you're trading with Miami, you could potentially take a quarterback with the third overall pick and you could have Tua included in that deal.
No, but here's, okay, so I guess what I'm saying is this, is that the longer they hold out in kind of make Deshaun Watson think that they'll really take this all the way through and he's going to have to lose money and sit out, maybe all of a sudden now he's more willing
mm-hmm.
to think about going to play for a team like the Jets or some other teams that have, you know, maybe it opens up, you know, the ability for them to deal with more teams than what they're having to deal with or what he would go to right now.
And that's great, Rico, but at least let's talk about the possibility that he would get traded. Like, try to continue to build the market. Because Deshaun Watson has done his job. He really hadn't said anything for or against any team that's out there.
No. You've heard nothing about that. I wonder behind closed doors, Chris, what Houston is really saying. Because there's no way they're taking the attitude of, like, this is where he wants to be, and he's going to be a long-term member of this organization.
Well, Dave, Rico said that the people down in the Texans organization call Cal McNair Tommy Boy. So I can't put anything past the Houston Texans. I really can't, just because you have a wild card that is the owner, which is really where all of this started. When they decided as an organization, you know what, it's probably a good idea for us to tell Deshaun Watson that he's going to be involved, but we're not going to let him really be involved when it comes to finding a GM or a head coach. Matter of fact, we're not even going to interview the candidates that he suggested. Like, they were the ones that botched this. So I don't know if I can give the Texans the benefit of the doubt. I don't know that they're competent as an organization to realize that this is an impossible circumstance, that they're going to have to trade Deshaun Watson. I don't know that they realize that, Dave.
The thing that sucks for them is the guys that are going to be the, I don't know, ultimate decision makers, but the faces of the franchise now, the GM and the head coach, they like signed on to this situation. They had nothing to do with this at all, and now they have to deal with this moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know. I mean, I think Nick Caserio is going to be there for the long term. I don't know how long Coach Culley is necessarily going to be there.
How long is the chaplain going to be there, Rico?
He'll pray on it.
He'll let you know.
Could you imagine, though? When you say Tommy Boyle, all I can think of is like Cal McNair walking into the coach's office and like trying to break down a play with action figures. Like with toys, like Tommy Boy does with the ambulance. Like, here comes the meat wagon. Woo! Yeah, yeah. He's going through.
Meat everywhere!
Oh my gosh!
For the love of God! All right, quick break. Let's come back. I'm very upset with the both of you. Very upset. Even RJ took notice of this, and I'll bring it up next. This will be an airing of the Dirty Laundry.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.